First, though, a report out today shows an increase in the number of people drowning in Australia, with a sharp rise in deaths of those aged over 55. The report by Royal Life Saving Australia says 291 people drowned in the 12 months to June. 31 of those were children under the age of 5. Just yesterday, two unrelated drownings occurred on the south coast of New South Wales. Justin Scar is the CEO of Royal Life Saving. He joins us from Sydney this morning. Justin, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
Justin, there's been a steep increase in drownings amongst people aged 55 and over. Why is that?
Look, it's very concerning. It seems that our grandparents' parents are increasingly swimming, boating, fishing their way into retirement. And what that means is they're more likely to come into risk and hazardous situations, whether that's on boats or by a lake or river or dam. And unfortunately, in some cases, they're not necessarily fit for those circumstances, or in fact, other illnesses or the use of medications can have an impact on drowning.
So are some of the drownings as simple as people having, say, heart failure or something while they're on the water?
That's right. If you're in the middle of a bay and you're out of breath, then it's a long way from safety. You don't have the swimming skills to swim yourself to safety. We also find that the use of medications can also have impacts such as loss of consciousness or fainting. Quite commonly in the older age group, so people over the age of 70 or so, if they fall in the house, they might slip and break their arm. But if they're in and around the water, the consequences can be quite dire.
And the numbers are significant. I think people over 55 account for over a third of all drowning deaths in Australia. That's 114 people in the last 12 months.
Yeah, we've spent a lot of time talking about children over the years, and now it seems we've got to keep watch of our older family members.
And I have seen that some of the drownings, it says, particularly involved what we loosely know as the grey nomads, so older people who are on the road. Is this, how much of it is to do with the fact that they're taking risks, they're having adventures that they're really not equipped for? I guess it's that we're all feeling younger for longer.
Yeah, certainly that's got a lot to do with it. There's certainly more recreational activity happening in those age groups. And that's fantastic. And I think really the only thing that needs to happen there is people just need to stop and think, update their skills, update their knowledge of water safety, make sure that the craft they're using has all this available safety equipment, including life jackets. With those simple precautions, including a checkup with your doctor, should be enough to keep you safe in and around the water.
And are we talking with this older group, are we talking still water, surf?
Look, it's across the board. We see drowning at beaches. We see drowning in waterways. Watercraft are a big factor. But then we've got to remember that when we look at people who are in essentially what we would describe as passive retirement, those drowning deaths are much closer to the home. So they might still be in the backyard swimming pool. Mm-hmm. Person might slip and fall into the pool whilst cleaning or mowing. It might be, in fact, unfortunately, in the bathtub. And really, when we're looking at those drowning deaths, we're talking about pre-existing conditions and perhaps use of medications that have a range of effects on mobility but also consciousness.
And with those kind of deaths, it's hard to get a message through. It might change behaviour, I suppose. But talking of behaviour, your latest survey also found that men are almost 5 times as likely to drown as women. Is that a gender risk profile, men versus women? Does it come down to that?
Yeah, certainly. As men are more likely to participate in those high-risk activities such as, boating, fishing, even swimming in hazardous locations. But we're also quite prone to egging each other on and pushing the limits. Culturally, I think men need to stop and think about the behaviours they're exhibiting for their children, because those are the sorts of behaviours that get the older children, young men into trouble in and around water. And of course, alcohol is a huge factor. We see, 30-40% of adult related drowning alcohol is present, and it's not just a glass or two, it's substantial amounts of alcohol. So I think people packing the esky for a boating trip really need to stop and think about the impacts of alcohol on their ability to stay safe.
So these are two particular groups we're talking of. We're talking about the over 55s, and then we're talking more broadly in the late teen to adult population, men, 82% of all drownings, deaths involving males. So how do you get the messages out to these groups? You talked about the message to the older Australians, but for instance, older Australians, is it a good idea if they think about refresher swimming programs, things like that? Do they need to go to that length?
Yeah, absolutely. In the last couple of years, you find you go down to your local swimming pool and there's an increasing availability of adult learn to swim programs. We have a program, the Grey Medallion, which is essentially like the Royal Lifesaving Bronze Medallion program where, you know, in school days we dove in the pool, we'd dive for bricks, swim in dad's pajamas, do laps, practice with PFDs. So there are those programs available for people to re-familiarise themselves with, you know, with our wonderful water and rebuild some skills and help understand ways to stay safe around the water.
And more broadly with adult males, because, you know, we've talked a lot in the past about the how to try and keep children safe, and that's about pool fencing and paying attention. But with adult males, the number's this high. What kind of campaign do you have for them?
Yeah, look, it's frustrating. This year we'll focus very much on alcohol, and there'll be a range of alcohol programs that will filter out through schools and particularly targeting young adults. For years we've been running life-saving programs in schools, and whilst we see lower drowning rates in, say, secondary school-age children, it really does rapidly increase once those children leave school. They find their way, not necessarily the local patrolled beach, but what they do is they go and swim with their friends down the local river, or perhaps they buy a boat and off they go. And so, you know, education is key, but we do work today in order to save lives in 5 and 10 years in that area. It's actually very difficult to get to young men with these, messages about risk-taking behaviour.
And still with children, they still make a large group of this statistic, and a sharp rise, this is disappointing, in drowning in kids under 5. Why?
Yeah, we've all been doing a lot of work. Governments across Australia are introducing swimming pool fencing regulations. There's a pool register in some states. There's compulsory inspections in others. And child drowning, particularly in backyard swimming pools, had been reducing for a number of years. So this is a worrying sign. We hope it's just a one-off, but it's a real reminder that pool owners need to not only focus on the maintenance of their swimming pool, ensuring that their gate is self-closing, self-latching, but they also need to ensure that all the family members are aware of the importance of supervision.
Okay, Justin, look, good luck with it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Frank.
Justin Scar, CEO of Royal Lifesaving Australia. You're listening to Breakfast. It's 17 to 7.